Gary Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Here we go. Oh, yes, we are ready for another live edition of Leading Edge Medicine. And good morning to you, just a few minutes after 10. We're live in the studio on this sunny day, which should be the warmest day of the last few and to come. So there you go. Wear your sunscreen. Go digging for your sunglasses if you haven't already bought a new pair or two. We tend to lose
them.
Protect
against UV light.
Yes, yes. And you want to do that for your eye health, which is good because we have Dr. Michael Gilbert here, all things eyes. And we're going to talk with you from Northwest Vision Institute today.
Excited to be here.
Yes. If you've got your questions about your recent diagnosis about cataracts and you're like, uh-oh, I got to get those removed. What does that entail? What is RLE, glaucoma, and all of those other things that we tend to
And the number hear. One reason, you know the number one reason people go to the eye doctor?
To get really, the eyes are
burning.
Dry eyes. We'll talk about that too. And if you have a question for Dr. Michael Gilbert, this is your day to call in at 206. And I can't even read my own handwriting here. I wrote too fast, and I don't think that's the right number. 421-5757. 206-421-5757. We will take your calls and talk with you. Also, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio.
I am here.
And
yes.
We're echoing a bit today because we are in a studio six times as big as our other little studio.
We don't have our foam on the walls.
No, not yet. But we like being here because we can see every week, we can see the changes. And now we have this wonderful paint on the wall.
Well, and that's right. And this coming week, assuming everything has arrived.
Yes.
The new video set will be on that wall over there, and the carpet will be on the floor, and the
Wonderful.
Lights will start being hanging from the ceiling, and the cameras will be up.
Okay. Okay. All the toys will be here. Uh-oh. It's happening.
We hope.
And why the change, Dr. Mixon? Because we are a radio show.
Well, we have been for 27 years.
Yes.
But I have decided that we need to go live stream. And so I am building out a video studio, and we're going to be filming our radio show and running it live stream online. And then we will be, you'll be able to see our show anytime 24/7 and watch any segments you want. And I've also then got about 50 different smaller topical segments that are just specific questions that are of concern to people, you know.
Okay. All on aging, usually.
Yeah.
Aging and health.
Well, and on cancer, the most common cancers, breast cancer, prostate cancer. I've got them on human, male and female sexuality. You know, men and women lose their sexual capacity over lifetime for very different reasons. And so, you know, letting people really understand why that other person in their life is undergoing these changes.
Okay.
It helps them to at least understand where the other person is and why they are. So, yeah, these are topics about health and aging and how to minimize your risks and maximize what the good Lord sends you.
Very good. Good, good, good. So not only will you be able to hear us each week.
You'll be able to see us.
You'll be able to see us, too. And the funny faces we make. Well, I make. Dr. Mixon dancing to the music. And Dr. Umat.
Yep, shaking her bangles.
There you go. Right. And just how tall Dr. Gilbert really is.
Sweet. Yeah. That's why his voice sounds so low. You know,
yes.
It has to come from deep down in its way. Yeah. So
yes.
That when it finally comes
long ways
out,
down there.
That's right. It's like the depth of the well.
Oh, yes. So we'll get to hear that beautiful voice all today with your eye questions. And look, the phones are already ringing. Should we go ahead? We'll do a little medical update later. Let's dive into
Let's
our phone
it.
Calls.
Good.
Yes, 206-421-5757 is the number to call. And we are headed to Tacoma first thing off. Ray, you are caller number one.
Hello, Ray.
Welcome to
morning,
the show.
Ray.
Hi, good morning. I've called into the show before. I'm a patient in Tacoma. But I first wanted to ask Dr. Gilbert about the upgraded lenses for cataract surgery.
Okay.
Are they really, you know, I just saw a doctor in Tacoma who was an ex-colleague of yours, Dr. Deem.
All right.
And he is retiring, but he
way too young to retire.
He's 76, and he wants to see his grandchildren.
Too young.
And your point.
Well, I'm 76, and I'm not retiring.
Right.
I know. But anyway, my question is, first of all, he said that the new lenses that are standard, he said they're very, very good. But he said we could upgrade.
I don't use the word standard for the basic most lens. That lens technology is really unchanged. The only thing that's standard about it is that it's all the insurance will pay for. So if you went in and you ignored the cost and said, What lens do I want in my eye with which I will live for the rest of my life? Every waking hour I'll be looking through this thing. So what does it do for me? And when you go beyond the basic most lens that's covered by most insurance companies, you get better optics. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Well, usually it means treating astigmatism. Now, if you have any astigmatism, we all have some, but if you have any significant astigmatism, you have always had it corrected. If you had a pair of glasses, contacts, any LASIK, any way that they correct vision, we always correct astigmatism. It is only in the implants where it's a question whether or not you're going to correct astigmatism. And that's only an insurance thing. If it hadn't been for insurance, then of course we'd correct astigmatism because we've always corrected it with glasses or contacts. Mm-hmm. And the only difference is we didn't have the technology to correct it with the implants until the last, 10 years ago. So it seems like a no-brainer. If we've always been correcting it with every other optical correction that we've ever done, and we did it, the only reason we haven't done it is because we didn't have the technology. Now we have the technology. Ought we do it? Of course. Except, it's not covered by insurance.
And the reason is why?
Why?
Why? Because, why on earth wouldn't insurance want people, if you're going to replace their lens, wouldn't the insurance company want people to actually be able to see well?
That see was the best they possibly can.
And have the last lens that you will ever have. So no more coming in to get new glasses and new contacts and upgrades all the time.
The other thing that it does is the basic most lens is monofocal. It's a fixed focus lens. And the premium lenses, one of the functionalities that they add is range of vision. That technology has continued to get better and better and better, and frankly, a little and less expensive. the lens that I use most commonly. So that's my standard lens. It's not standard in terms of the insurance, but my average patient doesn't choose the basic most lens. They choose the lens that gives them not only the ability to correct the astigmatism, but adds some range of vision. And it's not the most expensive lens, but it is the lens I would personally choose. The lens that Dr. Mixon has is an incredible technology, but frankly, today's have improved a little bit.
Yeah. In fact, I almost wish I could replace it with a newer one.
I know. Well, the next step for you is they're developing lasers that can adjust the functionality of that lens inside your eye, removing the risk of putting in and taking out.
And I'm waiting.
So the implant that Dr. Mixon has relies on the focusing muscles. But now we can get that same functionality without relying on those muscles. So we don't have to worry about exercising those muscles and trying to get them to work and the individual variability in that. So you get a range of vision and you have the correction of astigmatism. How important is that? Well, it may not be important to you. And to Dr. Deem's point, the basic most implant will correct the cataract, improve your vision almost certainly, and can reduce the near or far sightedness. So I had an unusual number of patients who chose that this week. So, you know, I certainly do that. But the majority of my patients choose one of the better technology lenses, not because I sell it, but because I'm passionate about the quality that it provides and the choice that they have. It's kind of a lifelong choice that they have.
Here's my question with it, guys. If you're going to want to have good distant vision, so you're picking a basic lens, the standard lens that comes out, the insurance lens, let's call it.
The insurance lens.
And the insurance lens will let you drive your car and see the birds flying in the distance and so on, but you still need to wear glasses to read. Is that the trade-off you're willing to put up with? Because really what you're doing, the fancier lenses let you both see far and near.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The older lenses, you have to choose either far or near and then use glasses for the other one.
Yeah.
There you go. And, you know, Ray, I actually had this done, and I opted for the better lenses. And I talked to several friends that had done just the basic or the insurance lens, and they were the ones that said, boy, I wish I would have just paid a little extra and had the better lenses. And the friends that did have the better lenses, what they said was, best thing I've ever done. And that's what helped me decide.
A gentleman called in last show, just a few minutes ago, with a different question, but wanted to thank me for RLE, which is choosing that premium lens and having it done before you have a cataract. But the outcome is the same. It's restoring. So we can put in that basic most lens, but the current generation implant technologies can give you the functionality of a much younger lens and correct some of the optical defects like astigmatism. And once done, that should last the rest of your life. So the reason I had my implants done in my 50s was I wanted to get out of my contacts. And right now I'm sitting in the studio wearing glasses, but they are the coolest.
They
blue,
are. I
right?
was looking are at them going, I love those glasses.
And so I think I look better in glasses, but I don't want to have to wear them to see. So when you see me in a clinic, I'm never wearing glasses.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I have freedom. I have total visual freedom. And I can read and drive and everything, but I look cool in, well,
you
cooler.
Do look cool. Yes, you do.
Cooler.
In your glasses.
In glasses.
Yes. Hear the music, and Ray, don't go away. We're going to continue talking about this because I bet you have a couple more questions. We will take a quick break, and then we'll be back. But this is Leading Edge Medicine. Get in the call queue. Talk to the doctors, Dr. Mixon or Dr. Gilbert today, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Bring back. a hot chick, but right now it's a solo group.
And we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. It's all that gabbing and banter in between as we take breaks that you'll be able to now see here in
a few weeks. Yeah, now we may charge extra.
We
may have to meet a premium fee if you want to hear the in commercial banter, because that tends to be a little bit off.
Well, we're not going to have a rating.
It'd probably pay more to have it deleted.
Yeah, like where are the doctors going on vacation? What are they doing?
That?
And
that's right.
Dr. Mixon in a Shark Tank, and I want to.
So
hear
is Ray
this.
Still there?
Yes, Ray.
Still here.
Ray, so I didn't give you much of a chance to ask me better questions. So tell me what's really on your mind about the choice. Here's the great news that I tell my patients. I expect your vision better no matter which lens you choose.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a dental hygienist, and I'm 76 years old. I haven't retired, but I've had just a horrific medical situation the last couple of years, so I haven't worked for a few months.
Okay.
So, you know, my eyes are about as important as your eyes are for what you do.
Of course.
I want the best I can have, and I don't have it right now. My eyes get fatigued very easily. My prescription hasn't changed that much, just barely in one eye over the last few years. But my last couple exams, they've said, why don't you hold off getting glasses, because there's just not much difference in your prescription. What you really need is cataract surgery. And early last year, I have some complications with bleeding and low blood pressure. I fainted and fell flat on my face on a concrete porch and had a horrific bleed and broke my nose, and my eyes were swollen clear out past my nose. It was really quite painful, but it hasn't changed my prescription. I think it has changed the gland some, but anyway, that's a little background but I think my cataract has gotten worse over the last
year. It sounds like,
year.
especially with your wanting to stay active at your work. Detail, obviously, is very important to what you're doing, and cataracts degrade that detail. So I think the cataract surgery sounds like an extremely low-risk, high-yield, lifelong advantage to you. And I think the question of how much you benefit from the premium lenses will depend on your actual prescription, how much astigmatism you have, and what have you.
Well, but you know, I'm a very visual person.
If you were a friend or family, I would tell you at this moment my personal favorite, what I would choose for myself and my family, and I did for my wife, is the class called the Enhanced Monofocal.
Enhanced Monofocal.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, unfortunately, I'm not able to get to your clinic. It's just not reasonable for me to travel because I don't have people that can come and go with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have it done in Tacoma. I don't know if there's anybody you recommend, but Dr. Deem recommended Dr. Castillo, and I don't know if you know him.
Not well.
But he's... Yeah.
But I would trust Dr. Deem on there to know the local surgeon.
So it's monoclonal?
No, ma'am. Enhanced.
I'm mixing that up with something
else. Let me give you a brand name of the technology that's easier to remember. Ihance or Vivity?
Ihance
or Vivity? Based on your descriptions of your need, okay.
Okay,
that would be the technology I would choose.
Okay, thank you. Well, I appreciate your help, and I have another question for Dr. Mixon.
Uh huh.
Hi.
Hello.
Dr. Mixon, I've talked to you a couple times before regarding light chain lamba.
Yes.
I don't know if you recall.
I do.
Since I've talked to you, I have had a bone marrow MRI, a heart and kidney MRI, a full body PET scan, and on the PET scan, they found a nodule in my lung.
Okay.
And he says, oh, we need to get a biopsy. And I was initially really uncomfortable with that because I used to be a respiratory therapist. Mm-hmm. And I kind of know what that entails. And it was going to be done in radiology. And I thought, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. And I got in there and, you know, leading up to that, I told the screeners, look, he needs to know that I have neurologic orthostatic hypotension. Mm-hmm. And I've had Versed before, and they have trouble getting my blood pressure up. Well, nobody told the radiologist, and he, for different reasons, obviously hadn't looked at my health history. And I was on the table ready to go, and I said, I hadn't even met the radiologist, and I said, look, he needs to know about my blood pressure problem. It's serious. And so he came in and he said, we're canceling your surgery or the procedure. He said, I don't feel it's safe without an anesthesiologist.
Good.
So then they scheduled me for general anesthetic, which I'm not comfortable with either.
Yeah.
And, you know, I canceled it.
Okay.
I just canceled it, and I called my oncologist, and I said, can't we do something else? Can't we monitor this with CAT scans or something for a few months and just see if there's any change? Because they weren't really sure what it was. They thought it might be inflammatory because I had a horrible case of COVID this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, we'll do that, and then he's going to do a blood test. I don't know what the blood test is. But I thought, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't believe that nobody knew what was going on.
Right, here's
get me right in there.
Yeah, here's my reaction, okay? Going from a Versed doing you in radiology to a general anesthetic because of your ketamine reactions in the past is an overreaction. The radiologist wanted an anesthesiologist there just in case your blood pressure dropped out. But then
right.
to go all the way to a general anesthetic is far more invasive, far more likely to drop out your pressures and give you problems than just the ketamine.
Yeah.
You know, there should be a middle ground. There should be a way.
They talked about, you know, and I know this, the risk of pneumothorax.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, but to do this under do a biopsy under imaging. I mean, they're clearly looking at a percutaneous biopsy where they just go in through the chest wall. So it apparently, just from what you're telling me, it sounds like this is a peripheral nodule. It's not deep in the lung.
No.
And yes, there is a small risk of a pneumothorax, but with a small gauge needle, it's not much of a risk. And if all else fails, they can just put a little blood patch on it.
Eliquis.
Okay, but you do want a anesthesiologist consulting and available, in order to monitor your vital signs and to make sure that you are, you know, tolerating the procedure well and be able to intervene if need be. But
yeah.
here is what I would always do for myself, okay? I never, ever meet my anesthesiologist at the time of the procedure. I always want to meet the anesthesiologist at least a day or two before and tell them what I want, what I expect, what my problems are, so that they know in advance what's going on. Okay, I don't want one of these 5-minute consultations as they're about to put you to sleep when you've already got medicine to make you sedated. That's stupid.
Right.
Spend time with
anesthesiologist. Well, you know, and a lot of the anesthesiologists now are temps.
Yep.
They're temporaries that are floating from hospital to hospital.
I know.
Which makes me nervous. I mean, my husband was chief of anesthesia at St. Joe's, so I have some
Yes.
Medical history here.
A more than nodding familiarity with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know the doctor. You want the doctors that are going to work on you to know you. Make sure you consult with everybody that's going to work on you before the day of the procedure. Okay? Talk to them.
Yeah.
Make sure they understand who you are and what your issues are so they're prepared to handle anything that comes up. Okay?
I have one simple question I want to continue. Okay.
Sit tight, and we'll talk to you right after this commercial.
Yep. You stay right there, Ray. We'll be back with you. And Bob, we're getting to you. And Alex, next on Leading Edge Medicine, get into the call queue. Here's our number to call. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy.
Wait a second. They only use your mind? I thought the big complaint was that we were using their bodies.
No. They're using our mind, the women behind the men, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I just broke this pin. I'm so sorry.
No.
Oh, we're back.
There goes Leading the overhead.
Edge. Yeah, really. Leading Edge Medicine, Lynette here in the studio, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert answering the questions about your eyes. And Ray, you had one more question for Dr. Mixon.
Come on. What was your other question, Ray?
One more question is, with the monoclonal protein and the light chain disease, I'm at a low level. They're not seeing anything in the bone marrow at this time, which is good news.
Yes, but I
personally think that being in longevity has maybe held that at bay, but that's just me. I don't have any proof.
Well, actually, it may well. Since you're in longevity, you know that we, even in our women, we replace your anabolic hormone load, your testosterone load.
Right.
And it turns out the testosterone actually rejuvenates the stem cells in your bone marrow. And we've had a lot of men and women that came into us with dysplastic bone marrow. That is bone marrow that is on the verge of becoming a malignancy. And many of them, over the course of several years, their hematologist has said he can't explain it, but they're doing better. Their bone marrow is actually improving instead of getting worse over time. You know, because typically you see somebody with a pre-malignancy in their bone marrow, and the question is, when is it going to become a cancer? And they just watch it until it becomes a cancer, and then they treat you for the cancer. And in many of our patients, it's going the other way. Their bone marrow is getting
better. Well, you know, I think that's what he has in mind, is he's saying, I'm at a low level. And he's so busy, Dr. Mixon. I had to wait 2 hours and 45 minutes in my appointment. He was that far behind.
Yes.
I mean, it just, you know, I know he's on overload, so it's hard to get questions in. Yep. But he explained to me there's three stages, and I'm at the very lowest part of the first stage, just barely.
Good.
Which is good. Kind of in the smoldering.
Yep. And let's keep you there for another 30 years, shall we?
Well, he said that it actually, in my blood work, it had gone down.
Yep.
And I don't understand the numbers, but it had gone down slightly since the last blood work. And the only thing that's changed is I put on 2.5 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. I'm in physical therapy. Dr. Prochaska lowered my progesterone level, and I've had an improvement in my blood pressure.
Yep.
So those are the only two changes, but is there anything else longevity can do to help me? Diet?
I'd have to actually review your chart to tell you what we could or couldn't do more. I mean, I'm just sitting here at the radio. We are just three people sitting around the table with our microphones, and we have no access to your medical records. And I wouldn't want to talk to you about your personal records on the radio anyway.
Well, I appreciate you taking so much time.
But have Dr. Prochaska give me a call. Or let's see, darn it, we're losing him. He's leaving us here in a week or so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just getting acquainted with him.
I know, but unfortunately, he's taken over his wife's practice. She's having her, I think, third baby or something, so she's going to stay home and be a mommy, and he's going to take over her medical practice. So...
Oh, gosh, so I don't know who I'll be seeing next time.
Well, until we get a new doctor in trained up to replace him, you'll be chatting maybe even with me or Dr. Umat, perhaps. So we'll see. We're all going to have to chip in and fill in for him till we get our new person.
That would be good.
So, yes.
So we'll see to it you're getting good care in the transition, I promise.
Very good.
Okay. Well, the one thing I only regret is that I didn't know about you 10 years earlier in my menopause situation. It would have made life so much easier.
Yeah, well, we're doing what we can do whenever we get you, though, hon.
Mm-hmm. So, we got you now.
Okay.
Thank you
so much for taking the time. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ray. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert. We're going to take a call now and head over to beautiful Gig Harbor. Bob is on the line. Welcome, Bob.
Morning, Bob.
Hi, Dr. Mixon. Hi.
Hello.
I got a question about blood levels of rapamycin. From listening to the internet, Matt Kaberline and Brian Johnson, who do this experiment, they get... Yep. A significant increase within an hour to 2 hours after they take their 6 or 8 milligrams of rapamycin, around 20 nanograms per milliliter.
Yes.
And then it drops off rapidly. And I'm assuming that that should happen to anybody who's taking rapamycin, correct?
You would think, except that I have never seen anybody, because we were doing our rapamycin levels through LabCorp. And
right.
And LabCorp is giving us zero levels, no matter how much rapamycin our people are taking. So
that is what I'm finding exactly. That's my question.
And so I just stopped doing blood levels, and I'm going by how the people are functioning, how they're, you know, what their clinical results are being, because I have no faith in LabCorp's rapamycin levels.
Wow, I am shocked to hear you say that. But you're exactly what I'm finding, and it's frustrating me.
Yeah. You know, when I started on rapamycin, I started with a compounded version of it, and my levels were zero. So I went to a commercial generic version, and my levels were still zero. So
That's
I went to
I'm
the really super expensive branded version, and my blood levels were still zero.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, it's not likely to be the medication. I think it's the lab test. And this is not a test we do in our own lab. This is one that we send out to LabCorp. So
okay, I got to find out where Matt Kaberline and Brian Johnson get their testing try that.
Well, see, Matt was at the University of Washington, and it was probably getting it done in their research labs at UW.
Right.
And we don't have access to UW's research labs. We are using the commercial labs, you know, at either LabCorp or Quest, because they're the two biggest ones on the planet. But, you know, my next quandary is to try shifting over to Quest and see if they can give us a decent value, because I've just basically lost faith in LabCorp's ability to get us a decent test.
That is most interesting, and exactly what I'm finding with multiple blood draws after taking rapamycin of several different brands.
Yep. And that's exactly what I did. I thought, well, maybe it's the brand. Maybe it's the drug. Maybe I need to.
Yeah.
But I've changed and changed and changed, and LabCorp is still giving me zero values. And, you know, in the research studies, they show that it peaks in about 20 minutes. And then rapidly drops over the next 2 hours. And I'm just not seeing that in the testing that we're trying to do.
I will quit wasting my time with LabCorp, and I'll find a different one. I'll let you know if I find one that gives me a level that might be accurate.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Your expertise is second to none.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Very good. Second to none, Dr. Mixon.
Well, I don't know about that. I do know that I've been doing this longer than just about anybody in the country.
Yes.
So I got more experience.
You're number one. We're taking your calls. It's Leading Edge Medicine on a beautiful day. We would love to talk with you. 206-421-5757 to get through and get in the phone queue. We're going to be back, and we are going to be talking with Alex in just a moment. Stay right there. Medicine, Dr. Michael Gilbert here, Dr. Jerry Nixon, and Billy Joel, who was just here last week in concert in Seattle.
But not here with us.
Not here with us, no.
He doesn't slum with us.
No. Well, you know, if he did, though, he'd probably not have a goodbye tour. He'd probably keep going for a while.
That would be the idea.
I think that would be a good thing. Good. I'm Lynette. We're taking your calls, and we are, let's see, did we have one more question with, I think we finished up with Bob. On the
I think so.
Okay, so we are headed to Lakewood, and Alex is here with us. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. And
morning.
A question for Dr. Gilbert.
Yes, sir.
My eyes seem to be receding into my skull, and I'm showing a lot of flesh on the lower part of my lids.
Okay. The recession is so. As we age, we lose fat, and sometimes that can influence the appearance of the orbit. But the relaxation of the eyelids, and I think what you're describing is called ectropion, E-C, Latin root for out. So ectropion is the that eyelid losing its muscular tone so it doesn't hold itself next to the eye. And that's pretty much a surgical repair. And it's important to do that because otherwise, if I'm understanding what you're describing, the eye is constantly exposed to the air. And so that area that is not having the protection of the eyelid becomes chronically dry. And the eye, that makes it vulnerable to infection. And so getting that fixed. And it also leads to keratinization of the mucous membrane on the inner side of the eyelid. So the longer it's left like that, the worse it becomes and harder to repair and normalize. If it's to the point, oftentimes what happens with that is your eye doesn't close. It can't come together because they're no longer against the eye. So the eyes don't come together, especially both when you blink and especially when you sleep. And so the best way to temporarily protect your eye would be to put some ointment in at bedtime so that that area is protected and not it doesn't dry out. But long-term, probably surgical repair. Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Thank you very much for the help.
Okay. Now, if it's just a small amount, then that's not a major problem. But when you say that you can see the fleshy side of the eyelid, then I would say that that's probably to the extent that the repair, it's, you know, that's not cosmetic at that point. That's functional and protective of the eye to get that fixed.
Thank you very much for that help.
Of course.
All right. Thank you for that that call, Alex. Talking about the eyes today, we have the eye specialist, the eye guy, Dr. Michael Gilbert here for Northwest Vision Institute. If you have concerns about your eyes and would like to talk with him, this is the day to call and get through. Also, Dr. Jerry Mixon here. Here is the number, 206-421-5757. We're headed to Linwood now, and Rob is on the line. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hello again. So I called in a little while back and talked about a spermacell. I think it was at the end of March. I had a T2 prostate MRI done. Okay. I was in that machine for quite a while. I don't know. I was having, it seemed like it was an older machine, but apparently they upgrade them. I don't know. And the most weirdest thing, I don't think it was the next morning or whatever, or shortly thereafter, because I'm examining myself on a daily basis, my sperm cell, which is off the right testicle, which is bigger than the right testicle, it was just a little flabby sack.
Ah, so it ruptured.
Like, wait a minute, am I dreaming, or is this really real? And no, I had to get a hold of myself here for a bit, and it's like, no, this is today. That was yesterday. And it's gone. And I was thinking, God, finally, this thing is gone. Well, within a week, it had completely come back. And it is seems like it is slightly larger than it was before. And I called the urologist or emailed him or whatever, my chart, all that. And he said, can't explain it. Yada, yada, yada. We don't know anything about it. I don't think there's any correlation to the MRI. So my question to you is, and I know this is kind of odd because there's doesn't seem to be a whole lot of information out there on sperm cell stuff, but what do you think? Any resonance had an effect?
I've never heard of an MRI draining a spermatocele. I have drained a few of them back in my country doctor days when they got big enough to be uncomfortable. But that was just to go in, make an incision, and excise part of the sac, part of the membrane that formed that fluid-filled sac, so it couldn't fill up with fluid anymore. You know, you just basically take the bottom off of it, so the fluid just gets reabsorbed and doesn't have a sac to fill it. It's not it's not a dangerous situation. It's a bit of a nuisance. You know, you can drain them, you can inject a little steroid into them and try to shrivel them up that way, but most likely if you really want to get rid of it, you just have to excise the excess tissue so there's nothing there to fill up with fluid. It's not a difficult procedure.
So are we talking about I have one more question on the way, too. So sure. The spermatocele, or whatever it's called. Is that
spermatocele? Yeah.
Okay. Is that where my sperm is? Well, also, you may not recall, but I had a vasectomy right after my last child was pregnant. So, and I'm 70 and he's 35 now. So, I don't know, 35 years ago or whatever, 36 and a half. 36 years and 9 months ago, I had a vasectomy. Where's my sperm? And I don't have that much ejaculate fluid anymore. And I'm just wondering, is that sac, is that where the sperm is going?
Probably not. I mean, the typical spermatocele is not actually sperm. It's actually just, fluid. It's just a clear fluid, amorphous. Many people that develop spermatoceles actually have little hernias that are flowing down that spermatic cord and actually collecting in the scrotum.
Would I know if I have a hernia physically?
Not unless it would be
self-examination or.
Not unless it was painful for some reason, and they usually are not.
No, I don't have any pain.
But, you know, your urologist, when he puts his finger up in your scrotum and up that inguinal canal and has you cough or strain, if there's a hernia there, he can usually feel it come down and hit his finger. That's why we
do that. Well, that hasn't been done for many, many years. So
so he'd have no way of knowing because he hasn't checked. You know, if you don't look, you don't see it. It's pretty obvious. Yeah, but once more, spermatoceles in and of themselves are not dangerous. They're not a real risk to your health. But if they are a nuisance, if you want to get rid of them, your urologist can do it. It'll take him longer to wash his hands and prep for surgery than it will to do the surgery.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, he offered to do it, although he never did offer the draining thing. So.
Well, the draining's not very effective because it just fills right back up with fluid.
Well, and that doesn't make sense.
That's right. So I was going to say that, if you want to get rid of it, you just need to make an incision. You need to go in. You need to take off that membrane, leave a great big hole in it so it can't fill up with fluid anymore. That's all.
Boy, this is so weird that it is the only thing that I've done different in my life is have that MRI done. And it's just very coincidental. Yep. So, all right. Well, we'll leave it at that, I guess, for right now.
Okay.
As far as what would you recommend being the best source for acquiring whey? And the reason I'm asking that is because I recently came across an advertisement on the web, maybe on YouTube, I don't remember, but it was for a high-quality grass-fed, I don't know why they're calling it grass-fed and grass finish, but 100% organic grass whey.
Okay. We'll talk about that when you get back from this commercial, but should only take 30 seconds. We'll be back in a minute.
All right. Stay right there, Rob. And Daniel, we'll get to your call as well as Elizabeth, who has a question about her eyes. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we invite you to call in as well. Here's our number. We are live in the studio, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Leading Edge Medicine will return in just a moment. You stay right there.